There are definitions that you have to know. First is divine mikveh. Mikveh means stationary water. Make shaman means rainwater that went directly into the mikveh without passing through a kli. May mayon is water from a natural well or spring that differs from meikshomim, in that meikshomim has to be stationary, mikveh mayim, and meimayon does not have to be stationary. It could be, for example, a flowing stream, and it keeps on flowing while you're in there. It's a kosher mikveh, it's a kosher mayim. Mikveh mayim refers only to make shomim. Shir of a mikveh is arboim sor. Arboim sor is measured differently by different of the achronim. Last time I gave you some idea of how widespread the machlokas is. The moko of shir is the pasuk in Vayikra, the rochas b'mayim kol b'soro. So we darshan mayim shekol b'soro ole b'hem. Mikveh enough that you can have your whole body immersed at the same time. The Gemara in Erevin and Avdalid measures that as Amma al Amma Berom Gimel Amos. That equals 40 saw. What's a saw? A saw is 24 lug. Means a mikveh, right, is 960 lug. A lug is 4 revios. So if you go to your Seder table and decide what size cup you're going to use for Dalet Kosos, what size cup you use Shabbos for Kiddush, and that'll vary, therefore. If your shear is the shear of the Chazon Ish, it's a big shear of approximately 5 ounces. If it's the shear of Mashreel, it's 3.23 ounces. Multiply that by 4, and then multiply it by 960. Right? That'll give you the shear, according to the Chazon Ish, it runs somewhere around 750 liters. Divide that by 4 to get the idea of gallons, right? Okay? In other words, 190 gallons, right? According to Rabbi Chaim Noah, it's a bigger shear. It's 921 liter. As a Shitas Hagaonim, that's quoted in the Otzer Hagaonim, it's only 322 liters. The Gaon has it as 543 liters. The Balatanya has it as 492 liters. Right. And the Sam Sofer, it's all I've been able to find out far, has it at approximately 840 liters. Next goes a definition of, we said now, that's, we have a mikveh, make shomim, right? It have to be kavua mikveh, meimayim doesn't have to be. Then we discussed, we'll pick that up again later. I'll repeat that now. Namely, the Isurim of Maim Sheuvim, right? Are they the Reise or the Rabbonon? Pick that up in the Shulchan Aruch. Let me continue some more definitions. Otsar refers to the reservoir of kosher water. The reservoir of kosher water has the ability to make other water kosher. Back off a little bit. Why is it kosher water? Because it came from Meik Shomim. The Meik Shomim are there constant. We have a halacha that once you have Memsor of Meik Shomim, you can add to it as much water that's called shuvim water, water which you drew with a pail, right, and dumped it in, because once you have a kosher or mikveh, you can't make it puzzle. It's mevatel all the water that's in there. Not so poshut though, because of a shitas harayvit that says that you always have to have a majority, 21 saw of kosher water. You can go ahead and keep on adding as much water as you want, but depending how much water you had there to begin with, that's kosher mikveh water, as long as you have it remaining 21 saw, it's kosher. But if I should flood the mikveh with so much water that washes out the water that's in there from before, according to the Ravid, it's possible. According to everybody else, it's a halacha of bittul. As each drop of water falls into the kosher mikveh, it becomes kosher. So there's never an accumulation of bad water, of not kosher water, right, that overpowers the kosher water, because kama, kama, butel, as each one comes in. You people have that clear in your mind? You have that imagery. Okay? So if I should open up the faucet and turn it on and water runs into my kosher mikveh, which I got from Meik Shomim that came down from the roof of my house, as I'll explain. According to everybody, I can now fill up 100 mikvos from this one mikveh. All will be kosher mikveh. According to Ravid, not. We try to circumvent the Ravid's objection as much as possible, but we don't. We can't paskin like him, in fact. The Chabad mikveh, as we'll talk about, makes an some kind of attempt to avoid overpowering the kosher water. But you have to have the Chabad laws of physics in order to understand them. Hamshacha. Hamshacha is a term that refers to, I pour water over here and it runs along ground that is slightly absorptive, maybe not cemented there, and then goes into a mikveh. According to some, that converted the mayim she'uvim into mei mikveh, because it came from the ground. I was pouring the water on the ground from a kli, and suddenly it became kosher. It's such a svara, because stop and think. Our water is circuitous. Come, grab one of these. Our make shomim, right, then becomes what? A mayan. Water gets into the ground, right? Underground, right, is fed. So what made it into a mayan? It was mayim she'uvim before. It's water that I dumped out of my bathtub. Right? I know what happened to it. Went down into the sewer, went into the earth, right? And then maybe 20 feet away, it fed my well. So really, what happened there? What happened there was hamshocha. It went along the ground and became natural water. So don't think lightly of it, as you see in the diagram I gave you. This diagram is what I followed in making in this area, but in Long Island and New Jersey, and most likely seven mikvahs. Okay, yeah, you heard what I said about hamshacha. Okay, then we have hashaka. Hashaka is a term that's used when the two waters kiss. I have water that's puzzle. I have water that I drew from my faucet into a mikveh. But alongside of it, I had a mikveh that was filled with rainwater, not with tap water. And between the two, there's a bung. There's a hole with a stopper. When I remove that stopper, and the two waters touch, they kiss, right? The water in the mikveh becomes rainwater, becomes now kosher mikveh water. That's the basis of our mikvahs today. People, so far so good.
Explain that one more time.
Yeah, okay. I'll review it in the diagram, but let's say again. I have a mikveh, and next to it I have a mikveh. One mikveh got filled with rainwater from a pipe from my roof. The other mikveh got filled with tap water. I keep my rainwater mikveh there. I keep that reserved I don't let anyone go into that mikveh. I make him go into the mikveh that I filled with tap water. And then when he's in the mikveh, I open that bug. The two waters touch, and now the water that was from tap water now becomes the same as rainwater.
When someone goes in there, or why does that have to be when someone goes in there? Why did you set up the scenario that way, really?
Well, that's the mikveh in which you go in when you go to mikveh.
Uh-huh.
You never go into the rainwater mikveh.
If you,
that's not accessible even from the top.
And if you were to close the hole again, does it stop being kosher, or that's it? Once it's kosher,
no. Once I said it. Once they kiss, it's kosher.
Can that one now go and be machshir another mikvah?
And how? It'd be machshir another mikvah and another mikvah and another mikvah. We have, as we'll see, one otzer, and because of hygienic reasons, right, the mikveh where the people go in, that water is changed regularly. Should be changed regularly. Yeah. Right now, most places, especially some places that I know, the water is changed when it no longer is possible to sink in it. When it's about solidified, then you know it's time to change. Yeah.
Really?
Okay. That poses a special problem because, like you said, really, we would like to have in the mikveh a filter that filters the water all the time. But then we have a problem that the water goes through the filter and it goes through a kli and becomes all puzzle. So we have to know how to work that out too. We have kosher filters. Okay.
What if the tap water mikvah is 2400 saw?
Right. 4400 saw. 6400
yeah.
saw.
Yeah. Anything right. above shishim.
The moment they kiss, it becomes kosher.
So there's no shishim there.
Under with shishim. Shishim isn't come to chicken soup. Let you know that chicken soup has to be made so that there's 60 times as much water as chicken. Right. That's known as caterer's chicken soup.
So shishim is only with tom, right?
Yeah.
It's not with...
As someone has quoted me as saying, when we had a simchan shul and they served chicken soup, that really was made in an old-fashioned way in which the water for the chicken soup is put into a long trough and a live chicken runs through it. Right? And then they call that chicken soup. Right? Someone said, well, what's wrong with this chicken soup? What does it need? And I said, it needs a tea bag, that's all. Beetles. Not in operation here, except for the Raibit that I mentioned.
Okay.
The Raibit says, before you came in, that a mikveh must maintain 21 saw of original kosher water. Next, the term zeria. Nothing special about it. Means implanting, right? When I take tap water and run it into a kosher mikveh, I'm zoreya the tap water and convert it to kosher water. Next one that needs definition, because we'll just be using it. Make sure we have our dictionary straight. Shoferes Hanod, the opening between the kosher water, the kosher mikveh, the mei shaman mikveh, and the tap water mikveh, I said they have to kiss. Right? How big an opening? Well, it says, Kishoferes Hanod. Okay, what's Shoferes Hanod? So, according to the most authentic source I can find, it is a diameter of 5 to 6 centimeters, or approximately 2 1/4 inches, so that you have the opening between the two mikvos, one having make shamim, and one having the maim shuvim. There is a pipe that connects the two, and there's a rubber stopper in that. It's a big rubber stopper, right? And that is about the size, 2 1/4 inches.
In diameter?
In diameter. Okay. As far as mikveh is concerned, right, we use the term mayon and mikveh and yam and nahor. Natural sources of water could be a mayon, right? A mayon is water that you find, right, by digging a hole, or naturally you find it there in nature. And no one poured any water into that hole. But the water keeps on coming into that hole, and if you remove water from there, more water bubbles up from the bottom. What we call a spring, right? Our wells, if you dig a well and you hit water, and now you have that water bubble up to fill up an excavation, that's a mayon, not a mikveh. When must you use mayon and not may mikveh in halacha? For a nida, as we'll see, may mikveh is enough. May mayon is needed for a zov, for a metzora, and for mechatas, to make the mixture for the par aduma. If a zova needed a mayon, we'd be in real trouble. In our area, new square, mikveh is a mayon. They dug there, make themselves independent of whether it rains or doesn't rain, and their mikveh is a mayon. When my shver zatzal would come to us for Yom Tov, he came to us every Pesach Sukkos. Not sure is. I mean, since we moved to Muncie in 1960, it never failed to be with us for Pesach. That's not true. Sometimes it would buy him for Pesach. But as he aged, Shrig aged, they came to us for Pesach. There, he took a special pleasure in my driving him before Yom Tov. He goes to Mikveh Chayvo, then Matas Hasma Beregel. We take him to there, and he has special permission to use it, because the people in the square cannot use their mikveh. They have a regular mikveh. The mikveh of Mayan is only used by the women. The men use a regular mikveh, make shaman mikveh like we do. So therefore, it was special that a male was able to go into the ladies' mikveh. Yam, an ocean, right? Even though it's salty water, right? Is metaya like a Mayan, right?
So a zav and mechatas can also be prepared in a yam?
The only thing it's not good for is for mepora, for mepora. Yeah.
Which is mechatas? Okay.
Right. I gotta check that up about on a zav. The zav could use them. Important thing: it's a Mayan in respect to a critical thing, namely, it does not have to be mei mikveh. It does not have to be mayim kavui. It could be water that's flowing, a current. The oceans have currents, strong currents sometimes, and the water is rushing away. It's kosher for mikveh, although not a good idea to go in there when the water is rushing away. Okay. Nahar, a lake, I mentioned that in passing, I think, last week. Nahar is a special problem. It could be a Mayan, and it could be possible as a mikveh. What does that depend upon? Where does the water come from? And that's very easy to check, because we have that service. If you call up the water service and ask for the statistics of the depths of the water throughout the year, then you realize that if comes summertime, the level of the water falls precipitously, usually more than half, right? Then you know that most of the water is from rainwater. Right? If, however, it maintains approximately the same depth of water, then you know it's coming from the bottom. It's coming from Mayanos underneath. And that's a big chilik. That's why up in the Casco Mountains, I don't know who's in charge now, but the old days when we used to go to the bungalow colonies, it was known which Lach Sheldrake was not kosher for a mikveh there, because it was Zochlin, the dam, water would flow over the dam there. Kaneango Lake was kosher for mikveh because the dam there was higher than the level of the water, so the water was mikveh, what was kavua. It wasn't zochlin. White Lake was considered not to be kosher for mikveh. And the three lakes there was Lach Sheldrake, Koneanga Lake, and White Lake. They're, what the halachas are, now I haven't the slightest idea. Okay.
How does that have to make a nahar problematic? If it's from Mayanos, then it's like a Mayan. And if it's from mostly rain, then what's the problem?
It has to be kavua.
Okay, it's got to be kavua. So, okay.
It cannot be zochli.
Right.
Add that at the next point. to this introduction, and that is when you have a mikveh there, when you have a bathroom in your house, and there's a leak, there's water on the floor, and you search where the leak comes from. Usually comes from underneath the sink, right? So you call a plumber and he fixes it. When you're dealing with a mikveh, right, and after years of use, suddenly you see there's water around the mikveh. Now you got real troubles, because sometimes you have to do major, major repair, digging up all the tiles and so on, in order to get underneath to see where the leak is coming from. What if it's only a little leak? That's where the halachas come in. It's a little leak, and the mikveh lady wipes it up, and seems okay, right? Then a few hours later, you see there's some more water leaking. So you see, if it isn't a big leak, we want to be machshir it. Comes the shayla, what's called a big leak. So very simply, if I'm in charge of the mikveh, it's always a little leak. If you're in charge of the mikveh, that's a big leak. Real trouble on that issue. How much to be machmir or not. But we have halachas on that too. Okay.
Why is a leak a problem?
Huh?
What's the problem with the leak?
It makes it zochlin. Oh. It's not kavua. Now water is running. Okay. For people who don't read Hebrew, I brought you pictures. Yeah. These pictures are very valuable because you'll see, for example, in Taras Samayim, he has pictures. It's wonderful. His alochas are wonderful. That's pictures that are totally confusing. These pictures, I can't even tell you where I got them, but it was from a Talmud who had some sefer on Hilchos Nida, on Mikvos, there in Eretz Yisrael. I taught Hilchos Nida in Eretz Yisrael too, in Gush, during the summer, for those people doing the Rabban Smicha. They needed my signature that I gave him a b'china anida. That's where I got these wonderful pictures. Just follow the pictures with me. Okay, I have them labeled, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. You have six sides. Okay, look at Aleph. That's mikveh im otzer zriah. Okay. Put together what we just explained to you, you'll see it falls into place. Okay, these pictures are big enough. If you look at my picture at the desk. Right. Over here, this is the mikveh with the steps in which the person goes in. Okay? He's going to go into this mikveh. All right? If you look there, along the people pay attention. Over here, you see there's a little hole. That's the connection to the Otzer Zriah. What's the Otzer Zriah? Here is tap water going in. The Otzer Zriah was Megeshomim. We'll show you later on how you get the Megeshom into it. So I want to fill this mikveh. What do? I open up the city tap up here, and I send water down into this kosher mikveh. And what do? I plant the water. I'm zoreya that water into the kosher water, so it becomes kosher water. It then overflows into this mikveh, so this mikveh is filled with kosher water. That is bargain basement Judaism. Okay, that's the cheapest mikveh you can make. Okay. Now we'll see the way we make mikveh today. That mikveh is perfectly fine. And if you were making a mikveh in your house, that's how you would make the mikveh. You would fill up, I'm talking about halacha l'maase. All you need is two big containers that hold memso, right, approximately 700 gallons, big 700 liters, the big shiurim. Right, lesser shiurim, whatever it is. And you would have a pipe from your roof
collecting rainwater,
bringing rainwater into one container. The two containers would have, right, a connection, right? Usually a piece of piping, right? We'll see what that piping shouldn't be, a kli. It doesn't have a base kibble, right? And the water, every time you wanted to use your mikveh, you could empty your mikveh every time, every month, if you wanted. But usually people who have private bowls in the house, and they're the only ones that use it, they usually leave the water there. They put in some, there's some chlorine in the water, and it stays away. It comes along the Satma, and Aset putting chlorine in the water. So instead, the women come down with skin infections. Because one woman has something, a boil that's spitting bacteria into the water. Any woman comes in after her gets it.
How do they avoid that problem?
Hmm?
How do they avoid that? Is there any way to avoid the issue?
They don't.
In Eretz Yisrael, do they put chlorine in the water?
I think there is a city ordinance that requires it there. You don't listen to city ordinance, don't listen to it. Yeah. Okay. Now, I don't like that first mikveh. Why? Because I have a little problem in my mind, that's my raivet. In no time, that water, the rainwater, in the bowl zeria will be swamped by the tap water which you run into it and overflows into the mikveh where you're going to go, where the people go in. So we try a little gimmick, right? What do we do? Right? No, I'm sorry. I said, got that. No, it doesn't have it on here. Next picture shows, right, now, the Otzer Azriya, right, is not demonstrated on this picture. We're on the next page. And just shows you, now we have an Otsa HaShoka. What's an Otsa HaShoka? Rainwater came in directly into a mikveh. You see, over in the first example, right, the rainwater came into an Otsa Zriya. From the Otsa Zriya, it overflowed into an Otsa HaShoka. Visualize what that is. By planting the water in the Zriya, I made it kosher. Right? I then went ahead and had that kosher water overflow, right, into a second bowl. And that second bowl is the bowl that connects to the mikveh that your person goes into. That's called the Otsa HaShoka, meaning the last, how did it get into the Otsa HaShoka? It says here, a pipe comes down the thing, it fills up this, and the two, and the two mikvos there. Let's see, they show it correctly, yeah. Okay. In the Otsa Zriya, you see, the water isn't coming in from the roof. In the second picture, they show the water coming in from the roof. What does that mean? There, that's kosher water already. We prefer to have an Otsa Zriya followed by an Otsa HaShoka. What does it mean? Visualize the two together. The water comes in into one Otsa, right? And then here you have it in Gimel, Mikuba Otsa. Echad lezriya ve'echad lahashoka. Okay? What does that mean? First you go the water into one kosher mikveh. That's tap water. From there, the water goes into a second mikveh, which is rainwater, kosher water. From there we make the hashaka. From there we have the bunghole that connects it to the mikveh which you go in. So what did I gain by the zriya shaka?
You gained a failsafe so that the initial megshamim does not become subject to the chashash of the ravid.
Right. Okay. Look at now the full picture. Here you have it, the way we would like to construct a mikveh today. Okay? Listen, watch carefully. Here's an Otsa Zriya and water went into the mikveh. On the other side, I have another Otsa of kosher water. That I will use to make the hashaka. Before I do that, this water in the mikveh is kosher already because it came from an overflow of a kosher mikveh. So technically it's kosher. But because of the raibit, I want to reduce the dilution of my kosher water. So I have another mikveh of kosher water on the side where the only contact it has with trefer water is the momentary opening of the hole between the two. Okay, got it. Here I have water going into the otzozriya, overflows into the mikveh. The mikveh is now kosher. Why is it kosher? Because it overflowed from an otzozriya. In addition, I have on the other side a preserved kosher mikveh, which didn't have any tap water put into it. But there will be a little dilution of that water when I open the bung. But all I have to do is open the bung and close it again. We don't do that. Usually they leave it open. But if you open the bung and close it again, open momentarily, right, you now have a kosher mikveh. You have a kosher mikveh here where the kashering mikveh was not diluted. If the otzozriya was making the mikveh kosher, then after a time, you have the reibitz problem. You diluted out all the water. By keeping an otzo hashoka, right, that preserves the kosher water for a very long period of time.
What's the Otzer HaTachton here?
Okay. Here you have the third Chumrah. Okay. This Otzer HaShaka does have contact with non-kosher water. But actually, not really. That water is kosher already. It went through the Zriya. Nevertheless, according to the Reibit, it may not be kosher water. So now I go ahead and I have an otzer of Hashokar whose water has never been diluted. No more than whatever dilution occurs the moment I open the bung. Okay. But some dilution occurs. Okay? So what do I do? Hydraulics come into play. I have another... I'm digging holes. I can dig a little deeper hole. And I make myself an otzer on the bottom too, which is filled with rainwater. Now, when this water is in contact with the water on top, it makes that water kosher if it were not kosher. So at the point when this is diluted out from the number of times that you opened up the bung, I have this one to cover me, to protect me, to make the water kosher again. But after a while, this also simple, you know, water doesn't stay put, right? It circulates based upon changes of temperature and so on. So this is not 100% there always. Little by little, that gets also diluted. But that's the best we can do. So what we like to do is, comes the rainy season like now, and if you have a good access from your roof, which I'll discuss in a minute, right, then you go ahead and flood your otzos when you have a good promise of heavy rainfall, right? Then you open up the pipe going down from the roof and you flood your otzos to replace them with good mekshim. Okay, so far. Comes along Chabad. We're doing fine, right? Took care of as much chumus as we can. Comes along Chabad and says that final mikveh, right, the one that you go into. That mikveh has to have kosher water because, I mean, how does it get kosher water? By hashoka with a kosher mikveh, right? And you have them side by side. Thomas Chabadin said, no good. The Otsa Hashoka should be from the bottom. It makes no difference how you make the Hashoka, right? As long as the two waters merge, one kosher, one not kosher, all becomes kosher. So having the Otsa Hashoka look bare as it is over here on the side, you see, they have there on page one, Otsa's Leah, you see it's on the side there. Look at the page two, the opening is on the side. Page three, the opening is on the side. See where the dotted line, is. Right, you with us? Comes along Chabad and says, according to their laws of physics, whatever it is, the Otsa, right, of Hashoka, right, should be on the bottom. How do you get to the bottom? It has to be a plate, right, over there, and that's open. I don't know how to get in there. The mikvah lady goes down with a scuba outfit or something. I don't know.
So, what about the Otsar Tachton? You also have to get down.
Huh?
For the Otsar Tachton, you also have to get down.
Otsar Tachton is there permanently. Never.
And this.
It's never changed. Right. The Otsar Hashoka has to be opened.
I thought you ever said something, leave it open all the time.
The what?
Didn't you ever say that, that you leave it open all the time?
Then it certainly would dilute. No. This can't be left open. If it's left open all the time, it'll dilute out in no time.
Right.
Anyway, let me tell you a story. I was lecturing in South Africa, in Johannesburg. It was a period of time, 3 years, I was in Johannesburg, and then I spent three summers in Australia under the auspices of Chabad. That was a period of time when Chabad had his program of pushing Taras HaMishpacha at Mikvos, and I was their popular lecturer on that. So in Johannesburg, in Australia. No, I was in Australia. There was a rabbi, some of you may know of him, he passed away recently. Rabbi Jack Cohen. Jack S. Cohen was his society. So. And I never like to say his name quickly. Right. It comes out Jack S. Cohen. You go to the Sefer on Shabbos, in which I'm quoted under the whole Sefer on Shabbos that he asked. He went ahead and built a mikveh. And the Lubavitcher apostled the mikveh. Why they passed the mikveh? He knew about Chabad. So he made a mikveh on the bottom, otzar on the bottom, but he also made an otzar on the side. Picture on that picture, visualize the previous diagram, right? There, and you have another hole in the ground. But a hole was on the side. So the Lubavitchoy refused to use his mikveh.
Why?
They took it as a personal insult. They wanted a mikveh the same as 770. Same as by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe had a mikveh on the outside, on the bottom, not on the side. But he gave you a mikveh on the bottom. But not. But they protested because a difference. Too many Tamina Chachamim were not involved in this. But he was under great pressure. The people wouldn't be using his mikveh. The Bava just said it wasn't kosher. Why wasn't kosher? Had an extra otzer. Right? I have a good chaver in Lubavitch, Avram Shem Tov. Okay. So he came to me, what should you do about the mikveh? I called Avram Shem Tov, say, this seems a strange problem. I think if someone from Lubavitch would tell them to cut it out, it'll be okay. So Avram Shem Tov tells me, I don't know what you're talking about. The mikveh in 770 has an otzer on the bottom and an otzer on the side. And that saved the mat. But there you see, the Lubavitcher Chosid doesn't want to hear the halacha. That mikveh is more kosher because it has an extra otzer to make it kosher. Yeah. Our minig is this way. We do it this way. That's what's given Chabad its strength.
Excuse me.
Because unless you have the loyalists who are willing to defend your way of life, little by little it disappears. This is the only way. It sometimes has to be a little irrational, but what can you do? Okay, now we got another problem, and that is, how do we get the water we'll pick this up then on Wednesday, the last question, how do you get the water make shomim into the mikveh? Okay. You cannot use anything which would be called a kli. Right? Therefore, we have a problem of what kind of piping you can use in order to get water from the roof, the kosher water into the roof. We'll talk about that later. Okay?
How is it not a keli? How are the tubes not considered keli?
Right. Okay. How is it not a keli? Here's a quick one. If it's piping that's made to be kavua bakaka, that doesn't have a shem kli. So
average pipes?
No. Some pipes are pipes like under your sink, and some pipes are pipes like going on underground.
Mm-hmm. So the pipe is made to be kavua lakarka.
Got it. Okay, you got all that all. See if you can give it upstairs. See, let them put it on the. On the internet.
How do you stop it? Here, stop it. Here.